We're in Parashat Vayechi. We'll do a slightly long Dvar Torah on Parashat Vayechi. In our Parasha, Yaakov Avinu says to Reuven, by the way, I'm sorry, before we begin, much of what we're going to discuss now is taken from Rav Nevenzahl's speech, Sichot on Parashat Shavua. Yaakov Avinu says to Reuven, he says, you are my firstborn, you are my first strength, you went too speedily, with too much force, and so you interfered where you shouldn't have interfered with my wives, and so you paid a price. So he rebukes Reuven, right? And the question is, this happened many decades ago. It happened over 40 years ago, 48 years ago. So what happened 48 years? That's a half a century past before Yaakov's going to say anything to Reuven. So Rashi says that Yaakov did not rebuke Reuven all those years because he was concerned that Reuven would switch sides, he would join Esav's side. That's what Rashi says. So even though it was important to rebuke Reuven, and even though you see Yaakov felt it was important to rebuke Reuven, because he did in the end, but you see that he took control of himself and he did not rebuke him till the end of his life, half a century later. And why? Because he's saying, if I rebuke him, who knows, maybe he'll switch sides. So what's going on here? Reuven's a tzaddik. Reuven teaches us what tshuva is. Are we concerned Reuven will become a disciple of Esav? People who are simpler than Reuven hear rebuke and they move on and they continue being observant people. It says one of the attributes you need to acquire Torah is a person has to have an appreciation for rebuke. You have to know that it's important. You can't grow without it. So what's the concern about Reuven? And even if you're concerned Reuven will be hurt by it, but the idea that Reuven will go to Esav, Esav's a thief, Esav's a murderer. How could it be? Reuven, you see, he works very hard to save Yosef's life. Reuven, when he's going to bring for his mother, he's bringing the dudaim, so the Torah attests, he went at the time when there was free stuff growing, and he was careful not to take from the stuff that wasn't his. He went and brought dudaim, so he's careful not to steal from a non-Jew, and yet Yaakov Avinu is concerned, if I rebuke him, he might go over and become one with Esav. How could it be? So we have to know that within a person's heart, sometimes there are little inclinations. And it's like when you're building a building, if there's a slight crevice in the foundation, so for a while you don't notice it. But then it starts creeping its way up and the whole building can collapse. So too is the human heart. And Yaakov was concerned that it could be that Reuven won't shift Esav overnight. But if I rebuke him, then that'll cause such a pain in his heart that it could be that pain will develop to an inclination to go in Esav's footsteps. And that's what Yaakov is concerned about. It's not that I'll rebuke him and I'll say, you say that, forget it, I'm out of here. And I'll go over to Esav, I'll go to the bar, forget it, I'm out of yeshiva. But he'll be hurt, and he'll be hurt to the point where he'll wonder, do I really connect to all of this? Now, you find this in Lot. Lot seems to be very pious. He's not on Reuven's level, but he is pious. Our sages say that Lot looked like Avram. Now, when our sages say he looked like Avram, it means on a spiritual level, people would interact with Lot, and they'd feel like, I see Avram in him. And then what happens? There's an argument between Lot's shepherds and Avram's shepherds. And Avram comes and tells Lot, you know, this is wrong. We can't continue like this. Where does Lot go? He goes to Sodom and Amorah. He goes to the antithesis of Avram Avinu. How do you do that? Yesterday you were a partner with Avram, and people said you reflected Avram, and tomorrow he's going over to Sodom and Amorah?
I never understood it.
Oh, so Yaakov is concerned. Reuven's a tzaddik. You see, Reuven appears on the breastplate. He's part of the temple. But if you come and rebuke him, so then it could be he'll be so embarrassed, so hurt so deeply that you can't know where that'll lead. Our sages say when you're rebuking a child, you're not allowed to point to your ear. It says in Maseches Derech Eretz that a father once told his child, he pointed to his ear, which was a way of saying, you're still going to get it. I guess when they used to punish the kid, they'd grab him by the ear and then they'd punish him. So the kid got so scared, he went and committed suicide. And it's in Maseches Derech Eretz, it quotes a few stories like that, where parents threatened the kids, then the kids got so scared, they went and committed suicide. So this is quoted in Halacha. The Kaf HaChaim quotes it. The Gross Moshe quotes it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, his response to that, an educator may not threaten a kid. You can't tell the kid, wait till we get home. On Shabbos, the kid's misbehaving. You're at a family event, and you say, you just wait. In a child's mind, he doesn't know limits. So his imagination has no limits. When you tell him, you're going to get it, he doesn't know what get it, where that ends. And that's why the Talmud tells us about people who committed suicide out of that threat. Isn't suicide worse? It says no. One kid jumped off a cliff, another kid jumped off a roof. Different ways that kids commit suicide, the Talmud says. So it says you're not allowed to threaten. You want to punish, punish, but don't threaten. The threat is worse than the punishment. So we have a limitation. Okay, Reuven's an adult. But even by adults, you have to be worried. Where is your rebuke going to go? How will it affect his soul? We don't know. Maybe Yaakov was wrong in his concern. But Yaakov teaches us something about the concern. He's teaching us something for life. When we come to rebuke someone, very often we know what the person did wrong. But have we really thought out how it'll impact the person, if we rebuke them? You have to really think it through. You see, Yaakov Avinu waited half a century and didn't rebuke Reuven. Pretty severe, but he didn't say a word. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Yaakov. And Moshe's rebuke, his rebuke speech, he waited till the last period of his life. He said, Shmuel, the prophet, King David, they all waited till the end of their life. So we know we have a mitzvah of tochacha. But we also know how careful we have to be, that we have to think things through before we rebuke. Now, where does all this come from? Because what's most precious for a person is their own honor. We can deal with a lot of things. It says in Yiddish, they say, a patch, if someone hits you, forget, and you can forget it. But a vote, if someone tells you a bad word, if someone speaks badly, if he hurts your honor, so that you might remember to the grave. We have a very hard time when someone hurts our honor. It's there's a scary story in the Talmud. It says there was a great Jew named Yeravam ben Nevat. When King Solomon built the temple, so then he had a broad entrance to the temple. And then when he married Pharaoh's daughter, so he built her a palace, and he closed off the broad entrance to the temple. He made different ways that the Jews had to climb up around the mountain to get in. They didn't have such easy access because he built the palace for his precious wife, the daughter of Pharaoh. So the only one who stood up and said something was Yeravam ben Nevat. And Shlomo got upset at him, and he became a refugee, ran away. So Yeravam ben Nevat was very, very pious. And the first day the temple was erected, Shlomo slept late, and they couldn't bring sacrifices on time because he kept the keys to the temple under his pillow. And the daughter of Pharaoh tricked him, and they had a skylight. Every morning, he'd look through the skylight, see the time. He'd get up bright and early before the crack of dawn. So when he wasn't aware, she had her servants create a copper ceiling over the skylight that first night. And she said, the Jews will see that he's in bed with me and not out there with him. She wanted to show everyone she's the boss. So he gets up in the morning when he's ready to get up at the crack of dawn. He looks up and he sees figures of stars. She had them create the copper in a way that as he'd look up from bed, it would seem like there were stars shining. He says, gee, I must have made a mistake. It's the middle of the night. Another hour. It's 3.5 hours into the day. And he finally says, nah, it can't be. And he gets out of bed and he walks outside and he sees the sun shining. Hundreds of thousands of people have amassed for the first day, the grand opening. They're standing there for 3 hours waiting for Shlomo. And Shlomo is just climbing out of bed. Now, he would have been up on time. Imagine that. Now, that's a real shame. He walks in late for inauguration day. That was the only day when they'd bring the morning sacrifice, when they brought it 4 hours into the day. You know, we say you're allowed to daven shachris till 4 hours into the day on the sundial, four equal hours into the day. Where do we get that halacha from? From that. Thanks to the daughter of Pharaoh. Otherwise, maybe we'd be davening earlier. But because she forced them to oversleep, so that's when they gave halachic ruling that you have until 4 hours into the day to bring the morning sacrifice. So we daven shachris till 4 hours into the day. So there was one man who had the guts to stand up and tell Solomon, you know, you're wrong. This is a chutzpah. And he stood there shaking in fervor out of zeal as he's yelling at Shlomo, how could you be doing this? And of course, he had to run away for his life. And then when Shlomo HaMelech dies, so he comes back to Israel, and the oldest prophet, Achia Shiloni, who is centuries old, comes to him and tells him, God has chosen you to lead the northern 10 tribes. So Yeravim ben Nevat is supposed to lead the northern 10 tribes, and he's told that he should secede from the Jewish people from the south, and he takes the northern 10 tribes, they appoint him as king, and we begin having the two kingdoms of Israel. Shlomo's son, Rechavam, thinks to go to war, and then Hashem tells him, stop, don't stop, you shouldn't go to war. And he listens to Hashem, so he lets 10 tribes go, and he's also very pious. Now, Yeravim ben Nevat is concerned. If he goes back to the temple on the holidays, on the Shalosh Regalim, so then the halacha says that only a descendant of David may sit in the temple. So he says, all the Jews and I will ascend to the temple, and I'll be standing there with Rechavam, and he'll be sitting, and I'll be standing. And everyone will say, you see, he's second fiddle. He's not as good a king as Rechavam. And then Rechavam will say, you guys want to serve Hashem with me in our temple, I'm the king. So Yeravim ben Nevat is concerned, what's he going to do? So Yeravim ben Nevat erects two golden calves, one in the north, one in the south, and he sets up guards all along the paths. No ascending to Jerusalem, the Jews should serve the golden calves. And he fiddles around with the calendar, so the Jews can't even know when the holidays are. He introduces a new month in his honor, you know, he comes and gives a whole speech, not in his own honor, but he changes the calendar so the Jews can't even keep up with when they should go up to the temple. So Yeravim ben Nevat has gone from being the huge pious person who Hashem chooses to lead the 10 tribes to leading the Jewish people to paganism. So our sages have a tradition that Hashem appeared to Yeravim ben Nevat in a dream. Now Yeravim ben Nevat has started sinning, and Hashem grabbed him by the cloak and said, come back. If you do tshuva, then I and you and David will walk, will take a stroll in the Garden of Eden. Notice who came first? Yeravim ben Nevat, and then David HaMelech. So Yeravim ben Nevat has the potential to be up there with David HaMelech. Hashem offers it to him. Ordinarily, when a person causes the Jewish people to transgress, we have a tradition that Hashem says, be gone with him. I want to have nothing to do with him. He caused my Jews to transgress. Here, Hashem comes to him and pleads with him. He says, come back. What does Yeravim ben Nevat say? He says to the Ribbon Shel Olam, who's first? David or me? Now, Hashem's offering him, who else gets such an offer? Let's go for a walk in the Garden of Eden. I'm offering you. Just come back. And Hashem says, David is first. Notice that initially David was not first. But once he asked the question, Hashem says, David goes first. And what does Yeravim ben Nevat say? No thanks.
No thanks.
No thanks. So Yeravim ben Nevat doesn't do tshuva, and he leads ultimately to the demise of the northern 10 tribes. But what's Hashem offering him? Ah, but if he feels he's hurt, his honor is hurt, he's not interested. That's the nature of man. It doesn't matter how big we are. Our honor is super important to us. And when a person feels like, I deserve something, Yeravim ben Nevat says, if I come back, I will be a Baal Tshuva. And it says that a Baal Tshuva can be bigger than Tzaddikim. So if I'm a Baal Tshuva, don't I deserve to be before David? How come I'm going second? Ah, I deserve all the honor if I'm a Baal Tshuva. Look at all my accomplishments. And if I'm not going to get everything, then I don't want anything. That's scary. And he's willing to take all the Jewish people down with him. So this is an idea. This is the idea that Yaakov Avinu was concerned about. Even a great person like Yeravim ben Nevat, look at where he can get to if his ego is hurt. We have to take this one more step. We have to be careful how we rebuke other people. Right? You guys know the story about the Chafetz Chaim? There was a man who wanted to see the famous Chafetz Chaim, and so he worked hard. He traveled a distance to come to the city of Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim lived. And as he was on the train, he sees an old man, and he says to him, "You know, I'm getting off at Radin." The old man says, "So am I." He says, "Can you show me the house of Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen, the Chafetz Chaim?" And the old man says, "Fine, I'll show you." And then he says, "What are you visiting him for?" And the Jew says, "I've been desiring so much to see the countenance of the Gadol Hador. I want to just get a blessing from the mouth of that tzaddik." And he could tell that the old man wasn't too pleased with what he just said. And the old man calmly says to him, "I know him personally. I know the Chafetz Chaim. And I could tell you that he's not as great as people think he is. And I know people are much bigger tzaddikim than him." You guys know the story?
Yeah, I hear it, but I forgot it.
So the man who had been traveling for a distance to see the Chafetz Chaim gets up and smacks the old man across the face. And he yells at him, "How could you talk that way? How could you disrespect the Chafetz Chaim? The Gadol Hador? How dare you?" And he's yelling at him and yelling at him, and the old man is startled. And you guys probably know the end of the story. When he knocks on the Chafetz Chaim's door, he sees the man who answers the door is that old man. It was the Chafetz Chaim himself who said, "I know him. He's not as great as people think he is. I can tell you about tzaddikim who are much greater than him." And when the man saw it, he was mortified. Like he didn't know what to say. And he begged forgiveness. And the Chafetz Chaim said, "No, on the contrary, you taught me that I really owe you something, because you taught me that in Lashon Hara, a person has to be careful even not to say Lashon Hara about themselves.
Himself.
Shouldn't speak badly." And this idea of the Chafetz Chaim goes, we can take this same idea with regards to rebuke. Just like you can't say Lashon Hara about other people, you shouldn't say it about yourself, so too, when we're careful about how we rebuke other people, we have to be careful how we rebuke ourselves. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu, they were all careful not to rebuke people till their last day. So you see, every one of us, when we think about ourselves, also has to be careful. We try to grow. The question is, how do we look at ourselves when we falter? What do we say when we don't succeed? A person has to look at the positive. We have to be very careful when we look at ourselves. Sometimes a person says, "I should have already accomplished this. I should have lived up to my expectations with that." And a person should have expectations and try to grow. But the question is, how hard does a person come down on themselves when they don't? It says in education, you have to use your weaker hand to chastise a student and your stronger hand to hug the student, to bring him close. The only reason you're chastising the student is really to bring him close. So we have to be so careful not to push a person to the point where you knock them off a cliff. Shabbat shalom. The idea of Ein Tova, does a person see himself with a good eye? You see, a person comes and tells himself, I should have done so much, and he couldn't have done that much. So then he destroys himself. A person can break himself completely. And sometimes it's a slow, you make a crack in the foundation. And from that, that's what Yaakov Avinu taught us. How careful a person has to be not to even inflict that crack. A person says, I'm never going to make it to be as great as so-and-so. I'm going to have to live up to things that are so much beyond me. So then I can't do anything. Who said? I could. And what I'm doing is great. Very often we don't achieve because we tell ourselves, I'm never going to make it, but maybe I could. And maybe if I'd only see the positive in me, then I would. A person sometimes thinks, if I'm not going to make it here, I might as well go and leave the yeshiva. What do you mean leave the yeshiva? That's because a person's given up on succeeding here. And that giving up on succeeding stems from that rebuke where a person keeps looking at himself and says, you see, I'm not succeeding. You see, I'm not living up to my expectations. That's the danger. And that's why this idea I thought was so pivotal. That although we have to work on growth, we also have to work on not rebuking ourselves, not knocking ourselves over the head when we don't succeed. Tov.
What was the source for don't threaten a child?
That's in Masechet Tzmachot. It's also Masechet Derech Eretz.
Yeah. The two golden calves, like how do you do that? Like we remind ourselves every day about the sin of the